Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such nature films as Earwigs, Ooh,
The Revenge of Abe Lincoln,
The Erotic Adventures of Hercules,
The Wackiest Covered Wagon in the West,
Alice's Adventures Through the Windshield Glass,
They Came to Burgle Carnegie Hall,
2 - 3 = -1, Man vs. Nature, The Road to Victory, Designated Drivers, The Life-Saving Nerds, The Decapitation of Larry Leadfoot, Dial M for Murderousness,
Alice Doesn't Live Anymore,
The Boat Jacking of Super Ship 79,
Smoke Yourself Thin,
Firecracker, The Silent Killer.
P is for Psycho.
Lead paint, delicious but deadly.
Calling all Quakers.
Son of Sanford and Son. And here comes the metric system.
TBTL.
Smack me! Wowzers in me trousers. It's a home run.
He called me the worst name ever.
What did he call you?
I'm not going to repeat it. That's how much I hate it.
Fat can?
No, it... The one that rhymes with the name of your favorite Todd Rundgren album.
It rhymes with Hermit of Mink Hollow?
Years from now, they're going to think that's poetry.
Hey, cheer up. It's Taco Tuesday.
Now it's your turn. So get out there and have some fun.
All right, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Monday edition of TBTL.
Oh, you're going to love the living Tweedle out of this.
The show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Podcasts are the future of show business.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host. Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City. This is the last time for a while that I'll be rapping at you from here. Be off to beautiful Hamilton, Missouri, and then a beautiful New York City, and then beautiful Portland, Oregon. So I'm going to just, I'm going to really enjoy the comfortable confines of home here, looking out over Lake Whatcom and the leaves, all still, some of them hanging on the trees. The color is beautiful. The sun is going to set at 4:50 p.m. today. The sun will not set after 5 p.m. until the end of January, so... That did not deserve the bell sound effect. That deserved the Luke's seasonal depression is soon to be setting in. But you know what? We'll get through it together. It's bright and sunny right here on episode 3023 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
So I want to warn you right at the top of the show here on this Monday, we have some kind of, it was just some, a grab bag of weird news stories.
They just want you to be normal, and clearly you're not.
So much of the real news of the world is so just depressing and mind-bending that every once in a while we just have to kind of reach in to the weird news file. And we've got a couple of those stories for you, including Jerry, the escape cow in Split, Croatia.
Never kick a cow turd on a hot day.
Who is become a national hero there. And if they can ever catch him, he will be pardoned from what was to be the end of his life. He escaped from a slaughterhouse, and he's been on the run, becoming a national hero. We'll talk about that, too. Plus, a story out of Australia where a guy went to the doctor complaining of headaches and other problems. And the doctor said, anything, you know, that might account for that, any explanation you can think of? And he said, well... I mean, 18 years ago, I did shove a balloon full of marijuana up my nose when I was in prison, and I could never find that, so...
You're a gross person.
I mean, that might be... It's a possibility that's related to these headaches I've been having that seem to center around my nasal cavity. So we'll talk about that, too. Plus, emails and V-mails and this guy, longest-running Cobra of the show... Known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their majesty. I texted him last night an internet joke, which was at the expense, I guess, to some degree. I thought, in a gentle way, of his football team's quarterback. By the way, if you're wondering if his football team prevailed yesterday.
The answer, sadly, is not yes.
He is Andrew Walsh, and he is pushing through the pain to join us from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. Sorry, there's something with my mic here.
Yeah, there is.
Can you hear me okay? Okay, there.
I can.
Can you hear me now?
Wow.
Wow, that doesn't happen all that often. I think I got to get this board fixed. Anyway, hi. I'm sorry I didn't return your text message. I'm just remembering now that I think I had to turn off my phone for about, I don't know, six hours yesterday during the two games because I was doing that thing where one game was on at the same time. So I went into what I call a media blackout. I turn off my phone. I watch one game, try not to spoil the other one. Then I watch the other one. And then by the time that's all done, my phone has been turned off for at least 6, if not 7 hours, which is somewhat liberating and somewhat frustrating, though sometimes you want to. You want to see other people screaming at your team's coaches online, too, and not having that is kind of a bummer. But anyway, so if you sent me a text that I did not return, I'm sorry. It probably came in when I turned on my phone and was flooded with, you know, a bunch of other texts from you know, B-list celebrities and whatnot, what have you.
I'm glad to hear that that was the reason because I felt a little bit bad because – and we'll talk about this on the No Point conversion later on, the full-on sports thing. But
what was it? I'm looking for it
was,
here.
It was Katie Nolan, who you and I are both fans of. There was a picture of your team's quarterback, Baker Mayfield. I mean, the football players, Baker actually doesn't seem to be this guy as nearly as much as, like, say, Cam Newton. But football players wear the darndest things after games, it would seem. And Baker Mayfield had this kind of long, I don't know, sort of trench coat on. I mean, he was bummed because the Browns didn't win, and Katie Nolan wrote something like, the dad from The Pursuit of Happiness. I believe she means Will Smith in the film The Pursuit of Happiness. Something like, it's a very specific Halloween costume, but Baker Mayfield was able to pull it off or something. And I sent it to you, but I also I realized that it was maybe at a time where you were still a little bit emotionally fragile. And so sometimes when the wrong joke comes in at the wrong time, it can just bum you out more. And that isn't what happened. It was just you probably got flooded by texts and you didn't have time to respond to all of them. I'd rather it be that than the alternative, which is that you are, I was making your pain worse.
Yeah, actually, you know what? And now I do remember that. I think part of it, because I'd seen that photo kind of floating around. I don't know if yours was the first I saw or not. But the thing is, I've never seen The Pursuit of Happiness, and I didn't even know it was a Will Smith movie. I think that I also saw it, and I didn't get the joke, which is often, if I'm not returning a text, it could possibly be that I just didn't get the joke, like 9 times out of 10.
Was The Pursuit of Happiness written by our dude, Stephen Conrad? Is that possible? Maybe the screenplay or something? Stephen Conrad, the creator of Patriot, the show that are huge fans
Written
of.
Written by Stephen Conrad. You're absolutely right. Written by. Directed by Gabrielle Muccino?
It was based on a real story. There's a real guy, soon to be played by Baker Mayfield in the reboot, which will be weird because the guy is African-American. But, it's a real guy who lived in San Francisco and was a single dad and was really on the margins and managed through just intelligence and dint of hard work to make it in the financial sector. And then I think he became a motivational speaker and he wrote a book about it. And then they made a movie of it starring Will Smith. And I think our guy, Stephen Conrad, probably got tasked with turning the book into a screenplay.
Ah, should I watch it?
I think I saw it on a plane and I think I didn't mind it.
Even Mooks can tolerate The Pursuit
exactly,
of Happiness.
Will Smith. What happened with me and Will Smith? That new I think it's an Ang Lee movie, like Gemini or something, where it's like Will Smith, real Will Smith, who, by the way, is not aging, and then computer generated Will Smith, who also is not aging, and they're fighting each other. And it just looks like, I don't know, does Ang Lee exclusively like working with cartoon characters now? I feel like every movie Ang Lee did after Brokeback Mountain has just been almost all CGI. And I can't imagine the joy of doing that as a director, but whatever. And then it's like Will Smith. I remember thinking Will Smith was just the friggin' bee's knees. When Parents Just Don't Understand came out, Summertime, maybe my taste has just changed over the course of my life. But it's like, I can't think of a Will Smith movie I would want to see now. And I don't know what changed. Was it me? Was it Will Smith?
Yeah, I still find him to be a pleasure on the screen, but he just hasn't picked any movies recently that I'm necessarily interested in. You're right. That one where it's like Will Smith fights Will Smith, and you know they're both Will Smith. I was just like, I don't care. Like, I just, but again, that's just my taste in movies. Like, I'm not a big action movie guy. And I don't know. I guess maybe kudos to them for not making it a big reveal in the movie that he's fighting himself. Like, we're telling you up front in the trailers, like, he's fighting himself. And this is,
well, right,
be
because
a whole...
the premise is they like cloned, like, Will Smith is the world's greatest assassin. And then the only thing that can defeat the world's greatest assassin is the world's greatest assassin. And so they like clone him, and then like they're, so it's like young version of Will Smith is coming after old version of Will Smith. But it just looks so I guess you could you use this term, you know, popcorn movie. I could see going to the theater and just like having zero expectations about, you know, plot or dialogue or whatever, and just being like, cool, this is a fun way to spend the afternoon. I have no judgment for people wanting to do that, but I don't know. It's just, yeah, something about Will Smith's, and by the way, Will Smith seems like he's kind of a reasonably interesting dude. His marital life seemed interesting. He and his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, they seem very open about, you know, the pressure of fame on their life and their relationship and how challenging it is to be in a marriage, which anyone in a marriage, I think, can relate to. And their kids are, I say this with peace and love, grade A weirdos, which I actually see as a compliment to them. Like, they seem like they've raised some really open-minded kids. So it's like, on the one hand, I kind of approve of what they're doing, as if they need my approval. But on the other hand, I just can't think of – I'm going to make this as a second reference to this in like two shows. It's like Will Smith's performance in movies erases itself from my brain as it's happening. I just have no – I cannot give half of a crap about Will Smith in movies anymore.
Remember one time you asked me – I'm sure you don't because it was just like – one tiny moment of a TBTL that happened to stick in my mind because I was bummed at myself. You had asked me, like, is there anything in movies that always stands out to you, like a type of mistake people make in movies? And I couldn't think of an
example. I remember
example.
Exactly when I asked you that.
When was it? What? Can you give me the show number? Can you give me between a range of 50
shows? Was it this
shows?
Episode?
Oh, yeah. That was a bad example to quiz you on. Damn. Congratulations. Okay. It was earlier this episode.
Was it within the last 40 seconds? Because if the answer is no, I have no idea what you're talking about.
We are the number one podcast for goldfish, because the goldfish's mind just resets itself every minute or so, I'm told.
Yeah.
I doubt that's true.
I think you know it. No, of course.
Wait, I'm
goldfish.
Oh, right.
You forgot.
That's right. I do know.
Can you can you believe that I had a drop that relevant to what
ready
you just
to
said?
Go. I know. Wow. Oh, God. What was I saying?
Anyway,
I'm a goldfish.
Movies.
Anyway, I had said, this is such a weird place to take this, but you had said, like, is there anything that always stands out to you? And I was like, no, I can't think of anything. And then after that show, I was like, yes. It's when people make boneheaded decisions about the way the media is portrayed in movies. Because I remember there was a Will Smith movie. I started to look it up. It's the End of the World movie. Do you happen to know the name of it? It doesn't. It's like post-apocalyptic. I Am Legend is the name of the movie.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And I think, I'm going to mess this up, but I think we're seeing a scene that's kind of pre the end of the world, like it's a flashback or something, and there, like, a TV is on in the corner, and the newscast begins, and the number one story is something very relevant to the plot, and they talk for a while, and then I think story number two is doctors believe they found a cure for cancer, and I was kind of like, you know, I think you'd lead
with
that.
Story number one.
Yeah, just lead with that, maybe. Like,
I love it.
So whenever I think of, like, Will Smith, I think of I Am Legend, and that was a good popcorn movie. It looks like it came out in 2007. And, yeah, again, like, I think he's a pleasure to watch, and I'm not above a popcorn movie, certainly. I wouldn't take myself to them, as is well noted, but if Genevieve is kind of like, hey, I want to see this movie, I'll say, hey, I want to get some popcorn, so we'll go. But, yeah, that latest one.
Our interests overlap.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen an Ang Lee movie, though. And that kind
have you
of
seen
stuff.
Brokeback Mountain?
Oh, yeah. Did he do that? Okay, sure. Yeah. I saw that. Yep.
Have you seen The Life of Pi?
No, I did not. That's with a boy on a boat with a tiger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. Look at you.
Is that true?
You're no goldfish. You're definitely a guppy at a minimum.
Is that? Did I get that right? Or are you...
Yes.
Okay.
You good. Absolutely. Yeah, there's a shipwreck, and a boy is in a lifeboat with a variety of wild animals. And then... I don't think I'm going to spoil this for anyone. They're not animals. They're people, you know, but he was imagining them to be animals based on their sort of personality traits. Oh. Based on a book, a very popular book called The Life of Pi.
Okay, yeah. No, and, you know, I guess I did see Crouching Tiger when it was in theaters. I see that was in 1999, though, and so... Oh, and I probably saw... He did Sense and Sensibility? See, now that's a movie I can get into. I did not see The Ice Storm.
Now, okay, this is the last thing I'll say on my Will Smith... this is the number one show for Will Smith tangents. But I think... Here's why I think I got Will Smith on the brain. Because over the weekend, I think I saw an internet thing where there were two different movies being shot on the same lot. I think it's a... it was a remake of, well, basically it was a sort of a meetup of a number of prominent African-American actors. So it was Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Wesley Snipes, and Eddie Murphy, and maybe one or two other guys I'm forgetting. They're not in the same film. Like on one side of the lot, Will Smith was shooting his movie, and on the other side of the lot, Eddie Murphy was shooting his movie, and they were all getting together. Like there was a sort of a meeting of the greats. Which is cute, and somebody was videotaping this whole thing. And then Will Smith is, like, standing there getting a selfie with all these guys, and he's just being his avuncular Will Smith self. But he's saying all this stuff that's just kind of gibberish, that sounds, it's, like, adjacent to being a joke. And I can see everybody nervously laughing, including Eddie Murphy, who's a legitimately funny person, not somebody who just plays one on TV like Will Smith does. And I just felt this deep discomfort about what a nerd Will Smith was being, and I think that burrowed its way somewhere into my brain, and then it just like a scene from Aliens, it just burst out right at the top of the show.
I didn't see this thing. The way you describe it, though, I think I would find that kind of nerdiness somewhat appealing. Though I kind of like
it
that
is,
Will Smith
it
is just like a dad now who's kind of like a little dorky.
Exactly. I agree that it's charming and winning and I am a bad person for
you are
having that be a check mark against Will Smith. Will Smith's basically just kind of like a sweet nerd dad type, and I should just let him live his life. I should let him be, and I will, starting right after the next 5 minutes of other things I want to say about him.
Yeah, what else has he done?
Boy, that extra hour of sleep on Sunday was... It was great, man. Did you enjoy that? Did that work for you?
Yeah, I did. I had a weird kind of weekend. I was a little I'm still kind of under the weather in a way that I feel bad to bring up because I feel like I've been whining for the past week. But I remember my back kind of hurt on Friday. I had that weird muscle spasm that kind of passed. The spasm itself passed in the morning, but I kind of didn't realize. I mean, I should have, but I was like, man, I really dodged a bullet with that one. But then it really kind of nagged me the rest of the day. It was really painful. So unfortunately, Saturday, that's all right. But by Saturday morning, I was laying in bed kind of with both a cough and a bad back, which is a dangerous combination, you know. So I'm kind of like coughing and it's kind of hurting, blah, blah, blah. So I needed that sleep. It wasn't like a fun, luxurious kind of thing, but I did sleep in pretty damn late on Saturday. And I will tell you, by the time I got out of bed, I felt a lot better and the back thing pretty much took care of itself. But anyway, I don't know if that answers your question. I was definitely glad to have that hour, but it wasn't kind of like some sort of like princess waking up in her post bed or whatever. What do you call the bed? A canopy bed.
I had like I woke up on Sunday morning way earlier than I normally would, but I felt very rested. First, I had kind of a lot to do yesterday. I'm doing this jogging thing, so I had to do that, and it was so that's a whole have to schedule around that. I needed to write a CBS piece. I basically had a lot of work to do, and I wanted to make some vegan gumbo and watch the football games. So anyway, I had a busy day, and I woke up like, I don't know, at like 6 in the morning or something, feeling totally rested, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. It was because, of course, my body thought it was 7 a.m. So I proceeded to just have like the most productive – and I'm not trying to rub anything in. It was just weird to me because I was like, can we schedule it so every Sunday we get an extra hour? Is that a possibility? Like what are the implications for the you know, the clock and the daylight saving time and the like – by the way, this could be the last year – or one of the last years we here in Washington State actually do the whole fallback thing.
Congress has to approve that, though, right? And is Congress in the business right now of approving states changing their daylight saving schedule?
Those clowns in Congress, Andrew?
Yeah.
no, that's the problem. Everybody has agreed. California's on board. BC is on board. Like, the whole West Coast is like, yeah, we're sick of it getting dark at 4 in the afternoon. We're not farmers, Lemon. We don't need this. And it's just a matter of, for some reason, there has to be it makes sense. Because if you have every state changing, you know, what time they're going to call it, that does have some impact on the kind of nation as a whole. So I understand there needing to be federal approval. But I'm also notoriously not a states' rights guy, unless I don't like what the federal government's doing, and then I'm very much a states' rights guy. But so, yeah, it's like everybody around here is ready to go with it. It's just a matter of the federal government, of Congress approving it, and they seem to have bigger things going on right now. But I, for one, welcome not – even though I was very much enjoying the getting an extra hour of sleep on Sunday, I am – as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am already in – dread mode about the fact that it's going to soon be getting dark at about 4 in the afternoon around here.
How did Rudy the dog handle dinner time on this schedule? Because our cats were pretty freaking out. We usually feed them at 6, and around like 4:45, they're freaking out. And I'm like, guys, you need to chill out, man. You have like an hour and 15 minutes. Let's like make this easier on everybody. Rest your voices. Rest our heads. Just like everybody chill out. And then I remembered, oh, actually, your internal clocks are absolutely right. This is feeding time for you, and I'm torturing you by pushing this off.
Well, that's the thing. I accounted for that with her. So I basically let her eat at 4 o'clock, which is an hour earlier than normal. Although, to be honest with you, after about 10 a.m., she starts whining. So it was regardless of the time change. Plus, I've started doing this other thing that's probably really bad parenting. I on days when – because, like, she can't go on – the jog that I went on was 10 miles, and she can't do that. And so it meant that by the time I got back from that, I wasn't super spry and ready to, like, take her on another walk. So she had kind of a lame day yesterday, and what I do – when she's having a lame day is I placate her with these raw hides, which are basically cow skin of some kind, I think. We order them online because we hate the environment and the local economy. That's actually not true. I went to the local Mud Bay pet place here in Bellingham, and they did not have the thing I was looking for. I was quite surprised because I was trying to not order these on Amazon. But anyway, we order them, but because they're, you know, a product that comes from some cow that has deceased and been, you know, harvested for parts, they're not consistent. And so the last bag of these things we got, they're just like a dried out pieces of like almost leathery kind of thing. The last bag we got, they were huge. This bag, they are small. So in my mind, it's like they're about half the size of the other one. She's allowed to have 2 of them a day. And sometimes I'll push it to 3. So whenever she starts to really annoy me, I'll just throw her one of these weird desiccated pieces of leather, and then she'll chew on that for an hour and get out of my hair. But I mean, that's like the worst approach to dog ownership. I should just motivate and take her on a walk or do something to stimulate her brain instead of just feeding her more animal products.
Too much bone time instead of screen time for a kid. You're giving your dog too much bone time. But back to this feeding issue. So yesterday you just gave in. I'll feed you at 4.
By the way,
eventually, it's
never
like,
never say I'm giving my dog too much bone time again.
Please. Okay.
Deeply upsetting. Somebody wrote on Twitter, where does dry as a bone come from? Bones are covered in blood. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's true. Well, maybe out in the desert you stumble across.
I guess. Like, Georgia O'Keeffe. Anyway.
Are you just going to feed Rudy at 4 o'clock from now on? Like, eventually you got him. Are you going to just shift it by 15 minutes every day or something to get her back to 5 o'clock? Or, I mean, I don't know why I'm obsessing over this, but I just had this thought yesterday. I'm like, well, I could feed you at 4, or I guess for me, I can feed you at 5. But then I'm like, yeah, but then when does it end? Is 5 o'clock the new bedtime? Does Congress have to – or dinner time, and does Congress have to approve that?
Well, I just – I don't know. Yesterday I thought she was completely in the right for wanting to eat at what she thought was 5 o'clock, and she was sort of okay-ish about it based on her standards of whining. And, well, today actually, not my problem. Not my circus, not my monkeys, because I'm going to get in the rental car and I'm going to drive to your house and we're going to record another episode of TBTL and I'm going to fly to Kansas City. So I guess Carrie will have to decide what time
that's my wife.
Rudy gets fed. Oh my gosh, I felt so bad on Friday, Andrew. I was out running errands and doing a bunch of stuff, which meant I couldn't be home at the moment of Rudy's feeding. So I did what I do sometimes. We have this WoPet remote control feeder. She gets exactly 11 portions, and I have to be honest, I quite enjoy seeing her excitement when the food is distributed. And so I did that, and I was like I was like way across town. I was almost in like Ferndale or something. And I did the feeder and she didn't come to the feeder. And I was like, that is so weird. And I realized, oh, after a while, it's because I had left her in the backyard right before I left earlier in the day. Now, listen, worse things have happened to a dog than to be hanging out in a fenced backyard on a not that cold day. I know that's like how all dogs used to live, and some of them still do. But in our family, the idea that Rudy was just like in the backyard, couldn't get back in the house, could hear the feeder going off in the kind of, you know, mud room, and was outside, I was just like, because it went from being like, oh, she's going to love this, to being like, oh my God, I am torturing this poor animal. And it was so funny because I got home, she had come around to the front porch, I opened the front door, and she, you've never seen a 65-pound yellow lab run faster directly to the remote control feeder. She knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah, that's some Abu Ghraib shit right there, man.
Yeah. I also then put her in a pyramid and took a picture of her, which, you know, dark.
Went full Lindy England on that dog. All right. Good place to break, okay. Probably.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, a good place to break would have been 2 minutes ago. But as Don Rumsfeld said, you go to the break once you've made a wildly inappropriate joke.
I feel a theme coming on. This is like this will be like a fake throwback TBTL, as if we were doing this show in 2003?
I like that I already said, the news of the day is so bleak, so let's go to some really bleak news of 10 years ago.
Let's go back.
Good stuff.
That
really
was
good
on
stuff,
me.
Burbs.
That was on me.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's all wash our ears out and pretend that never happened, and then we'll do some top stories, which involve washing your nose out. You are going to hate this top story, Andrew, which I'm already excited about.
Just glad
stay with
us.
It's TBTL.
I'd like to know, are you really ready for some Super Dynamite Soul? Introducing the world's greatest entertainer, the amazing Mr. Beat Beat himself, the hardest working beatbox in show business, Betty Rock!
Ready, play rock, and rock
soon.
Is this tape of me beatboxing from a previous episode of TBTL?
It is. I dug it up. What did he say at the beginning of this? I'm just playing. This
is this Will Smith?
Yeah, it's DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. This is called
Start on Jazzy Jeff.
What's that?
Don't even get me started on Jazzy Jeff.
Right. That's a whole
got
other...
a loose 30 on Jazzy Jeff.
I know. He's just constantly getting thrown out of Uncle Phil's house. I kind of hit this song. I didn't remember. I remember having a copy of this record. He's the DJ. And this song is called My Buddy, which I thought was a good one. But
is it I'm the Rapper, He's the DJ?
He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah, it took a while to...
My Buddy.
Beatboxing is always a kind of I don't know, it's on the edge as far as music to bump back in with. I realize this took a while to kind of get where we wanted it to be. I could have chosen a better track.
Well, I mean, the thing is you basically have summertime and parents just don't understand. And what else? Nightmare on My Street. Remember that one? Did we use that in any of our Halloween stuff?
Basically,
Will Smith has a whole rap, I think, about Freddy Krueger showing up at his house.
Now, I want to take umbrage with something that I might be totally wrong about, okay? But I just want to, because I thought that Summertime was much later than this stuff. It
probably
was. That was even DJ Jazzy Jeff? Okay, I thought you meant like off of this record, because I was like, this record, I knew, like my friend, weirdly, my friend who was into a lot of, I'm going to pull this out, who's into like a lot of like Christian rap and stuff like that, also had this record, and I remember I copied it off of
him. I'm not surprised. I think it's pretty tame, right?
It is very tame. As a matter of fact, what does he say at the beginning of that one? Like, get ready for the funk of soul, but he says it in the most dorky way possible. It turns out Will Smith was always a dork. That's what I kind of like about him.
Yeah. You don't remember that Nightmare on My Street? Can you see if you can find that?
Yeah, I think that's off this of was... this record, right? That's
is
from
it?
The 80s.
I don't remember. It all blends together. But like,
yeah, that's the title.
Was that
track
a crossover
of
song? Was it basically like, doesn't Freddy Krueger show up at his house or something?
I'll play it here. So, okay, this record came out in 88, by the way, and then the other one with Summertime came out in 91. So it's not as far apart as I thought.
I find this backing track to be legitimately kind of mournful. and a little bit creepy.
Now I have a story that I'd like to tell about this guy. You all know me as me scared.
How'd he come up with that line?
How'd he come up with this scansion?
Yeah.
In West Nightmare, born and raised. With my claw hands, that's how I spend most of my days.
I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
Yeah, we should have used this for our Halloween show.
I'd be too terrifying for the listeners.
Well, that's true.
Should we thank our Will Smith?
Yes.
I have one type of rap song.
Yes.
Level donors of the day. Some of these people might be Smith heads, and they now I'm besmirching their favorite entertainer. By the way, get ready to get equinoxed. First donor on the list, Ross Smith.
I knew that was going to happen. I didn't even look at the list, and I just had a feeling. I love
Ross
that.
Smith of, we got another Uppsala, another Swedish 10 checking in. Thank you, Ross. Patricia Anderson of Kirkland, Washington. Thank you as well. Marissa Ebeling of Kansas City, Missouri. I'll see you at MCI. Isn't that a weird airport code for the Kansas City airport?
Yeah.
MCI.
Municipal City International. What does MCI stand for?
I don't know, but that's where you fly into when you fly into Old KC if you're visiting Marissa Ebeling. Also, Pamela Woolley of Maple Grove, Minnesota. That sounds like a wholesome place. That sounds like an extremely wholesome place. And then Nikki, a.k.a. Veronique Crotio of Seattle, Washington. What up, Nikki? Thank you so much for supporting the show. And then Nicole Hawkins of Jacksonville, Florida. Beautiful Jacksonville, Florida, where Minshew Mania continues, even though he didn't have the greatest game yesterday. But, like, don't count that guy out. Nicole, Nikki, Pamela, Marissa, Patricia, and Ross. Thank you for making TBTL possible. Thank you for keeping the nightmare of us not having this as our job at bay for at least one more week. We could not do the show without you.
I said, yo, Fred, I think you got me all wrong. I ain't partners with nobody with nails that long. Look, I'll be honest, man, this team won't...
By the way, I just, that voice, the Freddy Krueger voice, which clearly they didn't have the rights to, I think. So, like, that's not Robert Englund, if I'm understanding it right. It reminds me of, you know how I said I hate the, like, I feel uncomfortable with the processed voice going on with, like, in TV commercials when they're trying to do that, like, witness protection voice. It gives me, I think because I grew up in a very Christian home and that kind of, that sort of weird deep bass processed voice reminds me of like the devil for some reason, maybe because of a certain amount of Carmen the Champion that I watched. But okay, so another commercial that's using that, I think, to terrible effect are those Bud Light commercials with the Bud Light Night. It's like, are we like, I don't understand. It does not make me want to drink Bud Light, I'll just tell you that much. Like, it's like they're being mean to the one night for no reason. And then their platinum is like the cool new night, but their processing on their voices is really troubling to me.
Man, don't even get me started. What is that? What is that? That's a joke on a show, right? Where that's somebody's catch line. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, that's
30 Rock.
Yeah, that's no. It's SNL. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
a Molly Shannon character.
Right. Yes.
But I'm
Do I know it through you? I might even know it because you've played it. Because I don't. But.
I'm trying to find. Yeah. How do I? That's so weird. I can't find that on my computer right now. But she basically has a stand-up comedian character that she does.
Right.
And her catchphrase, she was like, some women have PMS. I have MMS, please marry me syndrome. Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
I love it's Molly so Shannon.
Oh, man, it's such a genius character. I'm sorry, but what is your... But I just did get you started.
You got me started
on
these Bud Light commercials. There are two campaigns that actually... Like, you don't have to love them, but they made sense. The original Bud Light Night campaign was making fun of beer snobs, if you recall. And, like, it was kind of an... I mean, it kind of speaks to me a little bit. But even if you don't go in for that, it was a campaign... campaign that made sense. They all coalesced around this idea of, oh, we have these beer snobs or mead snobs in from the other kingdom, and here we all just like to have a good time. And if you're somebody who's going to like make everybody else, if you're going to be kind of a bore and kind of ruin everybody else's time with your beer snobbery, then you're not for us. And the king is always kind of the leader in those things. And they had a whole campaign dedicated to it. Then during the Super Bowl, they decided to make that switch where that specific campaign, that medieval campaign, started attacking other beers, other light mass-manufactured beers for having corn syrup in them.
Right.
Where suddenly you're like, wait a second, your whole thing is we're not going to break down what's inside of a beer. It's all just kind of good, fun-loving like light beer, let's not be snobs. Then suddenly you're the snobs. Now they have this new campaign. They don't know what the hell they're doing. The king is a dork who's like fumbling and bumbling around and trying to ditch the Bud Knight so that he can hang out with the Ultra Bud Knight. But then the Ultra Bud Knight is sometimes too cool for the king. Like none of the characters hold together anymore.
They're at the wrong turret.
They've lost any thread of this thing making sense or trying to like sell a message.
They've completely lost their way.
Completely.
Now, from that negativity to some positivity. Okay, first of all, I saw a guy riding his bike yesterday, and I'm not trying to body shame anyone, but I saw somebody riding his bike yesterday who literally had the legs of that guy from the Liberty, Liberty, Liberty commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was a cyclist. He was a serious guy. I mean, this was a testament to the strength of his calves. But I was like, you could have done that commercial. They would not have had to do any special effects because you that's how much cycling you're doing. But I always talk about how I don't like those Liberty commercials. There is a new one that's good.
Oh yeah,
it's where a guy is playing an actor. Well, he's like as an aspiring actor. Like he's sort of it's hard to describe what his role is, but he's just supposed to be doing an ad for Liberty, but he's just a moron. See if you can find. Would you,
I know could, that one. Could, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could you do me a kindness?
There are a couple. I still think that campaign is generally a mess, but
I agree.
But yeah, that one.
Written for this guy who's basically playing sort of like a vapid. You know, he's sort of like a guy who almost booked the Twilight movies but didn't, and like. I have to give total credit to the actor who's playing this kind of himbo. He really nails it. And it's like some of the lines that they've written for him are sort of great.
Oddly, give me one more second here, but you know, the kind of repository for all these commercials, especially ones that are currently running, is this website called iSpot. I think but for some reason that one has been pulled off of iSpot, and I don't know.
For being too good.
For being too good. It looks like it's called Liberty Commercial Bad Job. Let me see if I can find this on YouTube. Has anybody taken the time to put it on YouTube? They have. Here we go.
Nice.
As a struggling actor, I need all the breaks that I can get. At Liberty Buchamel.
Cut.
Liberty Line.
Cut. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Cut. Liberty Am I allowed to riff? What if I come out of the water? Liberty Bibbity.
Cut. We'll grab it.
That's what it was.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
They just have him
only
now.
Pay
like,
for what you need.
Yeah.
They're just dubbing the voice, and he's just doing such a bad Liberty Bibbity.
And we can't obviously convey it here, it being a visual joke, but like his kind of his mannerisms while somebody's giving him the full line read is kind of like, yeah, let's get through this. Like, yeah, I got this. Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, he's really immediately impatient with them, even though he's doing such a bad job.
Yeah, you're right. That is a good one.
If they want to take it to the next level, their new jingle needs to be Liberty, Bibbity, Liberty, Bibbity, Liberty, Bibbity.
You know,
lean in.
I have a little commercial crush on the woman who says, use the cocktail stick. In that Gordon Ramsay commercial for AT&T and the new iPhone.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's really good, right?
Actually, you know what? The guy who's playing opposite her, like her boyfriend or husband or whatever, partner on that thing, he's in Get Shorty, and he's really good.
Oh, the TV show.
The TV show Get Shorty, which I would recommend. I think it's back now. Season 3. Chris O'Dowd, Ray Romano, et al. I thought a pretty good show. I started watching it on the flight home from Australia.
I remember.
If you remember, I got really into it, and I remain really into it. But yeah, no, That commercial is pretty good too. The way that she's just kind of like whatever her vibe is supposed to be, the way that she's kind of in awe of Gordon Ramsay and kind of trying to be like this happens in couples, by the way, sometimes where you're like, you meet someone and you're like in awe of them, and now it becomes your mission to make sure your partner doesn't screw it up for you by saying the wrong thing or saying something dumb. So she's like in total agreement with Gordon Ramsay about everything. Because she's like super psyched to meet him.
Yeah, yeah, it's really cute. I mean, people either know what we're talking about or they don't care, right? I don't have to set up the whole plot.
I wish they wouldn't do that processing on her voice, by the way. Yes. I think that's
use
weird.
The cocktail
bad feel.
Stick.
Sorry, did that give you the bad stick?
Glad we have that in the clear.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Hat tip to listener Chris for sending this along. A package of marijuana has been retrieved from the nose of a man 18 years after he smuggled it into prison. In what doctors have described as the first case of its kind. You think? I would have been willing to bet this is the first time that someone has had a bag of marijuana up their nose for 18 years. This was written about in the British Medical Journal. And by the way, I don't know if this is quite a trigger warning, but it's pretty gross, this story, I think. This guy who was written about in the British Medical Journal, was in prison. His girlfriend visited him, snuck him some weed. He placed the drugs in a balloon, by the way. He placed the drugs in his right nostril to evade detection from guards, but was later unable to retrieve them after pushing the package deep into the cavity. Now, let's just start there. I don't care what the added penalty is for having contraband, I am going to the medical ward of the prison as soon as I can't find the balloon full of marijuana that is somewhere in my skull.
God, how much do we know about how much?
I mean, a nostril's worth?
I guess so.
How many nugs is that?
Yeah, on the street.
I'm bad with this terminology. I'm the absolute worst person to ask. But, like, I mean, just the idea that it would just a balloon of any drug. I mean, I guess honestly, marijuana is the least terrifying. If it were something like coke or meth or something, it'd be more scary. Marijuana feels semi inert anyway. It's a plant. It's just going to kind of like, you know, whatever. But still, the idea that this guy was just like, well, you win some, you lose some, is just amazing to me. So over the 18 intervening years, this balloon of marijuana developed into something called a rhinolith, which is a stone that forms around a foreign body in the nasal cavity through the slow deposit of calcium and magnesium salts.
I think I've heard about
this before. You have?
It just rings a bell that somehow once something is in the body long enough, it just kind of, the body does something like this. It kind of like sucks it in. What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say that the researchers at the British Medical Journal have the greatest title to this report. They called it, are you ready, Andrew? This study was described as a nose out of joint.
All right.
Come on.
I'll give it to them.
Give it up for those British
Medical
Journal.
Can I try to outdo them?
Yes.
What about...
Please.
Nose for pot two. Okay.
I'll give it a solid medium.
Nose for pot two. Nose for pot two.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. That nose for pot two guy looks like he has something jammed up.
Yeah, he does, right? All right. Not my best work, but I'm out there trying.
Hey, I'm just proud that you tried.
Yeah.
Sorry, by the way, I keep saying it was in the British Medical Journal, but these were doctors at Westmead Hospital in Sydney, Australia. They wrote this report, and they called it a nose out of joint. Now, the problem with nose out of joint is that it had a joint in the nose.
Yeah, it should be
a
joint out of nose.
We got there. I'll send them an email.
Uh-huh.
So the guy... goes into the doctor he's complaining of headaches and a variety of other things. Upon questioning, the patient confirmed a long history of unilateral right nasal obstruction and recurrent sinonasal infections. On follow-up and specific questioning, the patient was able to recall an incident that had occurred 18 years prior. While he was incarcerated, the report states, He remained unaware of the package's presence until presented with the unusual histopathology report. In other words, they did an X-ray of some kind, and they saw the bag up there now surrounded by calcium and magnesium. And that was when he was like, oh, yeah, that did happen 18 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I am the things that we humans will do.
Yeah, or to get forget. A little buzz.
And just also the things, like, again, he's had a history of headaches and unilateral sinus issues mm-hmm. on the side of his nose where he once jammed a balloon full mm-hmm. of weed and never saw it again. I don't understand it, bro. How are you not going to the hospital immediately? And when you go in and they ask you, anything go up your nose 18 years ago? You're mm-hmm. nothing comes to mind. And then they take an X-ray and you're like, oh, yeah, there was that bag of weed.
Mm-hmm. Well, 18 years. I mean, it sounds like probably – so this was – he jammed it up there near the beginning of his sentence. Did I get that? Did I get that from your story, or am I just inventing facts here? But
I think you're inventing okay. that. I don't think that's mentioned where he was in his
okay.
kind of stint,
okay.
as it were.
But yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, he's got a lot of stuff going on, and then maybe by the time he gets out of prison, like, he just kind of did forget about it. I mean, I could see mm-hmm. – I don't know, man. I put myself in that position. I would feel like I'd have a lot of things going on in prison that I mean, maybe he's just remembering all the things he successfully pulled out of orifices.
Maybe. They, by the way, they removed the rhinolith, and he, 3 months after they had removed the foreign body, the man reported his nasal discomfort had completely resolved.
That's so satisfying. That makes
me
feel good.
That's exactly it. Like, right? Like, I'm not recommending anyone mm-hmm. do this, but it almost would be worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just for the relief. I mean, anytime you have a medical malady, the hope would be that there is some magic bullet. There is some rhinolith in there that they can just – I mean, that's rarely the case. Usually when we're in pain and having issues, it's not – oh, guess what? It's that bag of weed. Mm-hmm. Let's pop that out. Hey, guess what's gone now? Your headaches. Mm-hmm. Like, it's never that kind of definitive. And this, it, I mean, again, this guy, just imagine the day they pull that thing out and all of your headaches and stuff go away. What a relief.
I'm just clicking on the story now. I was going to ask you if there's any chance that – oh, do they? I was going to say I would be very interested in seeing what this weed looked like after they extracted it and cleaned it up and then pulled it out of the bag.
And smoked it.
Do they,
grinded it.
I mean, I do wonder. You'd be like, all right, guys, let me toke you up.
I mean,
up.
Is that how weed works? Would it be better? Is like a would it be has it
gets better
finally
with age?
Aged?
That's not my understanding. Oh no!
Doesn't
of course, you go to the website and this is, boy. If you want to be a successful stock photographer, just take a mm-hmm. bunch of like
yep.
beautiful photos of dank bud or whatever they call it, because like any of these articles when they don't have anything to go along with it, especially when the legalization push was more of a national story like 10 years ago, it's like. All you see, any story related to marijuana, and there's just some stock photo of some marijuana growing on a plant somewhere.
Right. By the way, these rhinoliths are relatively rare, accounting for one in every 10,000 ear, nose, and throat outpatient visit, according to the study. They can form around a wide variety of foreign objects, though, such as beads or seeds. And around bodily matter, including dislodged teeth. Mm. Can you imagine losing a tooth somewhere into your sinus cavity? And then, I mean, I've threatened to do that to people at bars, but it's never really worked. Like, you lose a tooth into your sinus cavity, and then a rhinolith forms around it?
Well, yeah.
That is, you are not living your best life if that is happening, I'm telling you.
Some people lose their teeth. Other people really lose their teeth, like, up in their face.
Well,
that's a problem.
You know what? You can look at it that way. I think of it as gaining a rhinolith.
That's true. I can hear the toast.
The teeth I lost along the way were the rhinoliths I'd gained. I'm just going to keep making that joke every day until it finally gets
until
funny.
Until it breaks through. Just
liberty, bibbity, liberty, bibbity.
Commit to the joke.
Dateline, Zagreb, Croatia, just outside the town of Split, where... our friend Camaro Kev and his lovely wife Anita have spent many a time, because that's where her family is from, and in fact that's where they got married, was in Split, Croatia. The plight of a fugitive one-year-old bull named Jerry has won hearts in Croatia after the animal escaped from a slaughterhouse last Friday and has been on the lam ever since. On the lam? On the calf? I don't know. The 1,500-pound bovine somehow just busted out of this slaughterhouse and has been running around, and they have not been able to track it down. The bull's owner, Ivan Bozic, which, by the way, is the name of every single person in Croatia except Anita's family, which is Bozanic, probably they're related too. The bull's owner has pledged to save the animal's life if they can capture him. Since he managed to escape a certain death, he will certainly stay alive, he told the local media. Somebody else who's been watching the story said, "I simply don't know how it happened. Apparently, pure force defeated technology." That's what Petar Skeho told local media of how the bull appeared to have slipped out of a corral. He took off into the woods and has still been evading capture. They have nicknamed him Jerry, as in like Jerry the mouse from Tom and Jerry. And there are all these Facebook posts and social media, justice for Jerry and hang in there, Jerry. Everybody in Croatia is now hoping that Jerry the bull manages to stay alive. This is one of those things. I'm not going to turn this into some animal rights conversation because that's tiresome and I do it far too often. And I'm also feeding pieces of Jerry to my dog 3 times a day by way of these rawhides. So I have no moral high ground. But I do think it's funny how this is like the president pardoning turkeys. We have a very odd relationship with animals we're about to eat, in that on the one hand, we're like, we're going to eat them. But then if they escape, we're like, well played. You get to not die. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost personifying animals. I'm with you. And by the way, I am on the record and will gladly go on the record again. I don't know which record, whose record. But pardoning turkeys is one of the stupidest traditions related to politics in this country. Like, we got to stop doing that. It's just, it's so dumb and grisly.
I mean, it's odd that it's the president who's allowed to do it. It's odd that, I mean, it is just a very odd all around ceremony. By the way, I saw the cutest thing the other day when I was driving around in the wilds of Whatcom County and not properly feeding and caring for my dog who was trapped outside. I saw a cow running. Now, I don't mean like a steer or, you know, like a big, I like a, probably like a juvenile, like not quite a calf, but maybe like a teenager cow. I don't know. The cow is probably two, three years old. And I don't know where it was going, but it was just running in a field. Mm-hmm. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. You never see cows full out sprinting. It's not their move, usually. They're just kind of like loafing around. They're eating the grass. They're digesting it through their multiple stomachs. Mm-hmm. They're flatulating and ruining the environment. That's kind of their vibe. This was a cow that was just in a dead sprint in the field, and I was like, that's hilarious to see.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen a lot of that. Cows tend to give off a very lazy vibe. I'm not going to lie. I'm not saying they are
lazy.
They're
very curious animals, though.
Yeah.
We were at a friend of ours got married, and they got married kind of in a country setting, and they were in front of basically a fence. On the other side were cows, and once the ceremony started, the cows started coming over, and by the end of the ceremony, which was all of 10 minutes, there was like a herd of 50 cows just right behind the bride and groom, just chilling like, what's going on over here? Is this open bar? What are we doing? Mm-hmm.
Was it open bar?
Totally adorable. I believe it was. Okay, I believe good. I took full advantage of it. I believe there was also a wedding. If I'm not – there's these two friends of Carrie's, and I don't want to be misremembering, but – if I remember this wedding properly, I knew at the wedding this is not going to last. And it didn't.
Mm.
You ever been to a wedding like that where you're like, oh, yeah, this one's not going the distance?
Let me think.
Don't talk about any of mine.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke, but I was like, eh, too easy.
too easy.
Although maybe I should take some of the easy jokes. No, just hacky kind of. I mean, after my nose for pot to material, people have – they expect more from me than just the low-hanging –
you've raised the bar.
Chops busting joke. But, you know, for the most part, I was thinking about this weekend because I was hanging out with a friend who did get a divorce years ago now.
Scandalous.
Like 10, yeah.
Are you afraid to be seen with him in public?
Yes. I'm not gonna say her name here because I don't want it to end up in the papers. But but she was somebody, she's like a close friend of Genevieve's. I consider her a close friend, but she's one of Genevieve's longest time friends, and they went to college together. And so she got married during this time when a whole bunch of our friends got married, like kind of that kind of mid-20s era where it seemed like every summer you had to block off like five different weekends for some wedding in some different part of the country that was going to break the bank. But anyway, her marriage sadly did not work out for a bunch of complicated reasons that are pretty sad. But for the most part, during that period, all those people who got married, I'm looking back, like they've stayed married. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a good luck charm for people. Invite me to your wedding. There's like only a 1 in 50 chance that you're going to get divorced. But no, my friends have kind of lucked out when it comes to that stuff.
I feel like, well, I was a caterer in college, so I went to a lot of weddings. I've also had a lot of weddings personally. And I like what the dead giveaway from this one was, there's a certain level of over-the-topness to a wedding that I think is usually a bad sign.
Oh.
Like, if it's all about the if there's a performative element, I know I'm generalizing grossly here, but it's like what I'm hoping to see is just two people who are clearly in love with each other and they're excited to be around each other for the rest of their life. Those are the ones that I think that's the best chance of something working out. The least good chance, which is what this one was like a whole huge thing, and it's very formal. And there, I mean, despite the cows, it's like just like too much emphasis on the kind of ceremonial part of it,
yep.
And not enough emphasis on the do these people even like being around each other part of it. And you can kind of just tell. Now, listen, it does weird things. Getting married does, and the wedding, it's a lot of pressure. I've told this story before. I was once bizarrely roped into what was without a doubt the worst wedding in the history of weddings. And I say roped into it like I was sort of the DJ for it. I've told this story before. The short version is this couple was clearly not a good fit. And there was just a series of disasters, including They put this video together. Their parents put this video, paid someone to put this video together of the bride and groom, including the groom's extremely unlistenable, bad Christian kind of emo rock band. Mm. And they made this video, but then it was too bright in the church or in the reception hall to watch the video. Mm-hmm. So this is in the middle of the summer. People were herded in shifts to the nursery of the church where it was dark enough to watch on a TV screen. This video, the 11 minutes of which was just footage of the guy's band playing to like three people that had been filmed handheld on some video camera. Like during the bride left the reception a minimum of four times to go to the parking lot and cry. She yelled at my sister because my sister changed after the whole like pictures and everything. One of my sisters who was in the wedding changed out of their very uncomfortable bridesmaid dress into a still very beautiful but more comfortable different dress.
Yeah, party
and
dress.
And she yelled, "What's that?"
Like a party dress for the rest of the party,
yeah.
So they can have fun.
Right. It was like she didn't change into like you know, I don't know, one of those barrels that people wear after the Depression or during the Depression.
Oh,
she changed into a dress,
look.
Just a different. I know, actually, that's
that
my theme if I get married. I mean, actually, literally, if I have to get married again, that will be my theme
because
I'll be broke. But, like, she yelled at my sister for changing into a more comfortable dress. She, during the daughter-dad dance, which is what I ended up being, because I was not even on the radio at this time in my life. I literally worked at a radio station, which was enough for me to be considered the DJ of this thing.
You were just spinning. You were spinning the greatest hits of conservative talk radio from yesterday and today.
Exactly. Like I was not. I had like whatever. At this point in my life, I would be probably fine helping run something like that. I had no experience at that point of ever really public speaking anything. So when I say the DJ, I wasn't playing music. I was just like supposed to announce, and next up we have the father-daughter dance.
Yeah.
During the father-daughter dance, the music was too quiet. I want to point out, I don't think I was in charge of the music. The music was quiet enough that you could hear the bride yelling at the dad, "You're ruining this."
Oh my God.
Over the music. as he did apparently didn't do the steps correctly for the bride.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you still in touch with anybody in this couple?
I've been they broke up like I don't know if that marriage lasted like a week.
Uh-huh. But you're not neither one of the people in that marriage are in your life.
I don't want to get any it's a small world.
Okay.
But let's just say it was really something to behold.
Okay.
Oh, the other thing that happened was so the wedding was wherever it was, and then the reception was at a different location. And because the bride and groom didn't drink, the toast was supposed to be involving these, I think, Jones sodas, right? There was Jones sodas everywhere. Well, the bride and groom took so long to get to the event that everybody was thirsty and started drinking the Jones soda. The bride walked in and was rip shit at everyone in the room for drinking the Jones sodas that were supposed to be for the toast.
Oh,
like, anyone
God.
Could even know that.
Oh, my God. God, this is exhausting me and making me anxious.
Yes. I'm glad I lived through it. I mean, it's sad for them, but man, what a memory. What a memory.
All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
All right, any emails striking your fancy on this Monday?
Yeah, I have an email that just came in a little bit ago that I don't even know the ending to yet, but I'm very excited to read along with you because
cool.
It seems like it's got a good narrative. It's related to garbage anxiety. But how would
you feel? How's that going on this Monday?
Great. Everything's emptied. It's
handled.
all back. The bins are off the curb. They're just sitting outside my window now waiting for next week. I mean, it's like life couldn't get better. I'm still taking photos, though, every week. I'm still taking photos of the bins out at the curb and posting it to Twitter. It just in that same thread. By the time I die, there will be...
Well, if you're going to give them a put down, you got to give them a put up.
Yeah, know? I should. This time I just kind of said, here's the time stamp for when I took my things out. I was not antagonistic at all, but nor did I congratulate them for picking them up last week because I felt like that could be antagonistic and because it could seem passive aggressive. Anyway, before I read this other person's garbage anxiety story, how did you feel about voicemail roulette? I need to go through the voicemails.
It.
I have a bunch. I got to say, like I really need to go through all these, and maybe I'm hoping maybe later this week. How would you feel about doing another like voicemail heavy show, like a voicemail frenzy? Because I love these shows.
I would love it.
All right, I'm going to do that. We'll do that later this week, maybe for Wednesday's show. But for now, I'm going to pick one at random. I don't see who this listener's name is, but I see it was left on October 17th, and it's 1 minute and 15 seconds long. So if it's not stellar content, it's only $1.15 in time. So let's give this a shot.
Can I
together.
Spin the? Can I? Spin
oh
the,
yeah, yeah. The... Sorry.
See if I can find this
Forget
on this particular
this. Find
system.
The wheel.
Let's see.
Where is that wheel? Where did I live then?
Where is it? Great question. I don't know. My problem is I'm constantly jumping back and forth between, okay, prize wheel with fanfare. Ready?
Okay. I have no idea what the wheel is going to pick out. What's the wheel going to pick out? Ah, here's one that was left on October 17th. It's 1 minute and 15 seconds long.
All right, here we go.
Hello, guys. This is listener Tom from Johnston, Iowa. Fabulous Thunderbird donor. I apologize. Hey, this is the episode from Thursday. You guys, this is the funniest one I've heard in a long time. And that's not a shot. You guys are funny. golden dumpster spit pop out all over my car.
Golden dumpster? Do you remember Golden dumpster?
Was it in the last 40 seconds?
No, it wasn't, Mr. Goldfish.
Dirt McGirt.
Golden dumpster, now, you forgot.
And- Golden dumpster. I hope I didn't just pick a voicemail. My guess is maybe...
You're getting nervous about Golden Dumpster, aren't you?
No, I'm fine about that. Yeah. I'm just wondering. I wouldn't usually play a voicemail if it's just saying nice things to us. But I'm also wondering if maybe these are a bunch of put-ups, because then he's going to have to gently maybe correct us on something. Let's see here.
Gert, and now Andrew talking about his compulsions and Catholic Mass. I was an altar boy many years. And I had so many compulsions that I had to do every time I was on the altar, counting things a number of times. It was borderline obsessive, compulsive. I don't know why I had to share that with you, but it really brings me even closer to Andrew and you. I've always identified with, I'm a mixture, as all, aren't we all a mixture of Luke and Andrew? I identify strongly with the self-loathing of Andrew, yet I'm burdened with Luke's ego. The nasty combo.
Wait, what?
Anyway, really enjoy you guys. Power out. And I got the poop stories I'm not even bringing up that you guys would love. Anyway, all the best. Bye.
Well, call back with that, obviously. That's an interesting
solid
combination,
voice,
like
man.
Self-loathing but ego. But, I mean, it seems like those things would cancel each other out, but they do not. Right? I think a lot of my self-loathing has to do with a weird sort of vanity as well.
That was a great look. We're two. You're two for two, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
On voicemail roulette, we're gonna have a real. There's gonna be a clinker at some point.
Yeah, one that's like on a Bluetooth, and you can only hear every other word, and you know.
Or it's just gonna be them. It's gonna be like a paternity suit against me, or a bill collector, or like it's just gonna be. It's gonna be tonally way not something we would play, but we're gonna play it, and that's. I mean, that's the real. That's the excitement around. The TBTL segment that's sweeping the nation, voicemail roulette.
You and I agree with so many things as far as like kind of programming and what's good for this show and other shows and sports shows. We talk about that stuff a lot. Yet somehow you think getting a voicemail that's announcing a paternity suit against you, you think that's bad programming. And to me,
no,
I think that would be one of
my marriage.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the best moments in TBTL.
I mean, honestly, no one would forget that moment.
Right, like,
it would
exactly.
Be probably the most listened to episode of our show ever, but it would be the last episode of my marriage ever.
We'd have Goldfish talking about that. Remember that time?
They would never forget.
Okay.
A goldfish never forgets.
Let me can you write that down as the name of the show? Because if it's not that, it's going to be Nose for Pot 2, and I don't know how to spell that. I mean, I guess you could like Nose for Pot, T-O-O. Nose for Pot 2. Anyway, you write yours down. All right. This is a story about garbage anxiety. I do not know how it ends, so I'm hoping that this has a happy ending. This comes from listener James, who says, for Monday's weekly garbage talk, I wanted to tell you a quick story about some garbage anxiety that I had last week. I live in a small town in Maine in a relatively new neighborhood. Our street is about 8 houses and dead ends in a field with power lines running across it. Okay. I wonder if those power lines are going to come into this story. While our town has a transfer station and a bag system, this presents its own specific set of anxieties. So we've decided to use a local private company. Oh, fancy you. Like most garbage pickup times, they want both cans, recycling and refuse, out by 7 a.m. on Friday. Last Thursday evening, after a great deal of post-trick-or-treat kid wrangling, I took both bins out to the street. It was very windy. I had to make a choice. Take the trash out in the morning and have dreams about missing the pickup. I feel that. Or leave this on the curb and dream about it all blowing away in the wind. The lids were on tight and both cans were pretty heavy. It should be fine, I told myself. How are you feeling right now, Luke? I'm getting anxious.
I'm able to
handle
tamp it. Down my anxiety because this is not where my anxiety lies.
At 1:45 in the morning, I realized I am the mother of Luke's baby. How about now? How's your anxiety now?
This episode just got interesting.
The story of this episode is it's extremely personal. At 1:45 in the morning, I woke up to the house rocking in the wind. It was howling. I looked out the window to make sure nothing had fallen on the car or the house. In the darkness, I couldn't make out the trash cans. I went to the front door to get a better look. The trash was there. The recycling can was gone. This is 1:45 in the morning still. I went out and found only the lid in a flower bed. Thus began a midnight search for the lost can. After about 10 minutes, I found it in the clearing at the end of the road, but it was void of any contents. Everything had blown away. Jugs, cartons, junk mail with my name and address on it all blasted away into the field and woods beyond. I dragged the empty can back, I put it in the backyard, and I went to bed. In the morning, the trash, of course, was picked up early, and as soon as it was emptied, that can also flew away. Many of our neighbors spent the following day cleaning up, and my six-year-old helped me scour the field for our litter, and I'm happy to say that I think we found most of it. I look forward to this new anxiety dream occurring every Thursday night in the possible future. Power out, James. All right. All right. James. At least everybody was in the same boat in the neighborhood.
I have to say, James, I'm not usually doling out advice on this topic, but two words, really three words, bungee cords.
Mm.
Got to get those bungees,
nice.
Man.
I don't think bungee that stuff is two down. Words. It's well, not bungee. That, although there, I think there was a DJ named
There was a rapper named Bun B.
Right. Exactly.
Bun B cords is what yes. I'm here to talk about today. No, but like... Like, bungee cords are those, it's like the most dad thing. Like, every dad has so many bungee cords, and you're just like, you never think about it in your 20s. And then you get to be a middle-aged dad type yourself, and you're like, those things are magic. It's like the best $3 you'll ever spend at the hardware store. Because I have, like, our yard waste cans, which are, like, we have the yard waste thing, the big green, you know, it's food waste and yard waste that we roll down every 2 weeks. They take that away. But if I mow the lawn, like there's way more grass clippings than can fit in there. And so I have two just plastic garbage, big garbage cans that I throw the stuff in while it's kind of like the waiting area. And those things, man, I bungee cord those bad boys down and I'm in. Those could blow over. Those could roll down the street. Those things aren't going in. I mean, they might the bin might blow away, but it will stay hopefully intact.
How many bungee cords do you think Will Smith has in his possession at all of his homes?
It's weird because he has this one very young bungee cord that's come back for revenge to take him out, and it's the plot of Gemini 2. So
that took me a while to get there.
Possible. I don't even think it's close for the show title. I think it needs to be Nose, N-O-S-E, the number 4. Pot, P-O-T, and then the number 2.
The number 4 and the number 2. I didn't even think of that. See, this is... This
also,
is
by
why,
the way, that's my new
that's why
email
you collaborate.
Login.
That's your, yeah, yeah. Your password.
Was that bad cybersecurity that I just announced two. It? That
no.
was
it's your lucky day. You just found a USB flash drive in the parking lot.
Did you say you had some other ones, though, too? Just
no, run. Just a goldfish never forgets. But I think yeah. Nose for Pot 2 is, I think that's very strong.
Yeah, I think we can, I think that's it. A goldfish never forgets, though, could be a Bond title, maybe.
Yeah.
If they're looking.
Maybe a crossover. Mm-hmm. Maybe a, like, you know, a Bond movie for kids.
Yeah, right. I like it.
Do you want to play the out music from your end? Or do you want me to play it from here?
No, I want to okay. play it.
Well, listen, thanks everybody for... spending this time with us. We're going to be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. So tune in for that. Until then, enjoy your Monday. Keep an ear out for the No Point conversion, which will be coming your way very soon on this very same channel. And like I said, enjoy your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.